This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Welcome to my podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. Sorry it took me a while to get another tweet to get my information out. New episode. I'm an essential worker during the COVID-19 epidemic, and it's hard to do out this podcast consistently. But thank you for your support. Today, I'm going to call this episode Verbal Streams of Consciousness, where I'm going to talk about Nick Cannon's situation. I'm going to talk about Kanye West's situation and how we can learn from it to better our lives and prevent ourselves to get caught up in situations where we can lose money and lose our status. But before we do that, I need to do some church announcements. Please follow me on my Instagram, BlackKage840. My Instagram is BlackKage840, so you can get updates on when my podcast is gonna be. I'm also a stand-up comedian. I'm not sure if I'm gonna go out in New York City to do a couple of stand-up because the stand-up comedy scene is crazy. There's this agency, Life and Buddha Comedy. They got their stuff stolen from a local comedy club called Climb Out Lounge. And you got comedy club owners doing illegal comedy inside the comedy clubs. And it's really dangerous out here. These guys in Manhattan that owns these clubs, what they're going to do is they're going to cause another second wave to hit New York State. And the thing is, New York State has already have over 25,000 deaths of COVID-19. This is why Governor Cuomo is doing strict quarantine policies for 31 states. This keeps going on. That may include the 49 states. So, everybody, please social distance. Please put on your masks until they figure out a way to get some medication or a vaccine or whatnot. Also, I have not yet signed on to IMBD. As I heard from previous episodes, IMBD, which is a celebrity website that monitors celebrity credits and all the movies that they've been in. You can register podcasts as a you can register your podcast as a television show, and you as a producer. So I'm going to finally do that this week. I haven't had an opportunity to because, again, COVID-19, and it's hard for me to focus. I have a Twitch. I like to do gaming on the side as a hobby, and I port my video game videos on Twitch. So if you're a gamer and you like to look at other people playing video games and you want to chat with me or through there, feel free to go follow me on Jeff Gamer 55 Ryer. That's Jeff Gamer 55 capital Ryer. Jeff Gamer 55 Ryer. Okay. So let's get started. So Nick Cannon was in the middle of controversy because he did an interview with Professor Griff. Now, Professor Griff is a rapper who used to be on Public Enemy. He is a strict 5%er. And Professor Griff and Nick Cannon was talking about some conspiracy theories when it comes to the Jewish community. These conspiracy theories that the Jewish community has gone through, these conspiracy theories, they are, well, they have been used by the evil Nazi Germany regime to kill about, I believe, was 6 million, 7 million Jewish people during the Holocaust. So anybody that talks about conspiracy theories when it comes to banking and Jewish people, they're automatically going to deem you as being anti-Semitic. And the one thing that you don't want to be, deal with in Hollywood is to be labeled as an anti-Semitic, because it's like a thing that follows you all throughout your career. You don't believe me? Ask Mel Gibson. Funny, Mel Gibson is able to still do movies, but not as much as he used to, you know? So anyway, now I'm going to, those who don't know Nick Cannon is and what Nick Cannon has done in his career, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Nick Cannon's, I'm going to go to wikipedia.com and read Nick Cannon's life and read up on Nick Cannon's credits, acting credits and music credits that he has been involved in, to basically understand the accomplishments that this black man has made throughout his own life, okay? So you get the gist of the type of man that Nick Cannon is before I criticize him. Okay, I'm on wikipedia.com and I'm gonna read his backstory now. Nicholas Scott Cannon, born October 8, 1980, is an American comedian, rapper, and television host. On television, Cannon began as a teenager on All Hat before going to host the Nick Cannon Show, Wild and Out, America's Got Talent, Lip Sync Battle, Shorties, and The Masked Singer. He acted in the films Drumline, Love Don't Cost a Thing, and Roll Bounce. As a rapper, he released his debut self-entitled album in 2003 with the single Gigolo, a collaboration with singer R. Kelly. In 2007, he played the role of the fictional football T.J. Harper in the film Gold 2, Living the Dream. In 2006, Cannon recorded his singles Dime Piece and My Wife from the Plain album Stages, which was never released. Cannon married American singer Mariah Carey in 2008. The couple separated and filed for a divorce in December 2014. The divorce was finalized in 2016 and they co-parent their children. Cannon was born October 8, 1980 in San Diego, California. Cannon was largely raised by his paternal grandfather, who both he and his biological father called Dad as a child. Cannon grew up in Lincoln's Bay Vista Housing Projects, which is a gang-ridden section of Southeast San Diego. While in his teenage years, he was affiliated with the Lincoln Park Blood Street Gang, but stated that he left behind his affiliations after losing a close friend. In 1998, he graduated from Monta Vista High School in Spring Valley, where he was president of the African Student Coalition and participated in track and field. Cannon received his first break doing stand-up comedy on his father's local cable access program. As a teenager, Cannon was one-third of the rap group the G4 Dope Bomb Squad. They opened for the likes of Will Smith, LFO, 98 Degrees, and Montel Jordan. After signing with Jive Records in 2001, he was featured alongside Romeo Miller at 3LW on the Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius soundtrack with a cover of the 1988 hit song Parents Just Don't Understand. His debut self-entitled album was released in 2003 and included the single Your Pops Don't Like Me, I Don't Really Like This Dude. In 2005, Cannon formed his own record label, Can I Ball Records, with plans to release his second studio album entitled Stages later that year. The album's first single, Can I Live, an anti-abortion song, was released in July 2005, followed by the single Dime Piece in March 2006. It was never released because of Nick Cannon's acting career. In 2009, Nick Cannon formed a new label after canceling his old label, Can I Ball Records, entitled Incredible Entertainment. And in 2010, Cannon created a parody of hip-hop pioneer Slick Rick entitled Slick Nick. He released two songs by the characters, such as I Am Slick Rick, a freestyle of Cali Swag's District, Teach Me How to Dougie, in which he attempted to dip hip-hop megastar Eminem. Nick's Story, a freestyle rap version of Slick Rick's children's story. On December 6, 2011, Nick Cannon released his debut mixtape entitled Child of the Corn. To present, White People's Party Music and Second Mixtape. On July 26, 2013, Nick Cannon premiered his new single, Me Sexy, and announced over 7 years after the shelving of his album Stages that he was working on a new second studio album entitled White People Party Music, featuring collaborations with Afrojack, Pitbull, Future, and Paulo the Don. I've never heard of any of this damn music. I feel bad for Nick. The album's second single, Looking for a Dream, was released on February 11, 2014. The song featured Afrojack. The music video was released on Vevo on February 13th. On November 16, 2016, Cannon released his second mixtape, The Gospel of Ike Turnup, My Side of the Story. Prior to the release of the mixtape, a music video for the single If I Was Your Man was released on November 7, 2016. On December 2, 2016, Cannon released a single called Hold on iTunes. Cannon released The Invitation, an Eminem diss track, on December 9, 2019, as a response to Eminem's feature on Fat Joe, Dre's Family Ties dissing Cannon. The track featured former record producer and conviction felon Suge Knight, as well as rappers as Hitman Holla, Charlie Crips, and Prince Easy, who Cannon referred as the Black Squad. After Eminem responded to Cannon with two tweets, Cannon released a second diss track the next day and featured the same rappers as well as conceited title Pray For Him. On 2005, Cannon created, produced, and hosted the MTV improv comedy series Wildin' Out. The same year, he hosted the so-called slime stunt on Nickelodeon's 2005 Kids' Choice Awards, in which he, a human cannibal, was shot into slime. He also hosted the first and only season of Nickelodeon's Friday Night Slime Time. In addition, he was the DJ on Ellen DeGeneres' Bigger Loser and Wider Show. On December 11, 2009, Cannon hosted the Nickelodeon Hero Awards along with Justin Timberlake, Hayden Panettiere, LeBron James, Kelly Rowland, and Alicia Keys. On July 4, 2011, Cannon hosted the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, an annual American competitive eating competition. On November 12, 2012, MTV2's announced that the revival of Wildin' Out, the revered show, was produced by Cannon's Incredible Entertainment. The series premiered in 2013 with a new returning faces joined by a roster of fresh talents. When asked about the show coming back, Cannon said, "With our show's original cast, everyone from Kevin to Cat Williams, I saw Crockett and Terry Killiam become household names. I was looking forward to working with MTV2s as we work to introduce biggest comedic stars of tomorrow with the turn of Wildin' Out." Rapper Big Boi of Outkast has confirmed in a tweet on Twitter that he was shooting an episode in January 29, 2013, in New York City, and for the people to join in the audience. Season 5 of the show premiered on July 9, 2013, to the highest ratings in MTV2 history. It was renewed for the season 6 and 7, which aired in two blocks. On November 4, 2013, Cannon was the master of ceremonies as well as an honoree of the annual Ebony Magazine Power 100 Awards. In 2014, he became hosting Caught on Camera with Nick Cannon on NBC. On August 4, 2016, Wildin' Out returned for its eighth season after three record-breaking seasons. In 2019, it was announced that Cannon will be debuting his own syndicated daytime talk show in 2020 via Lionsgate, Denmark Mercury, and Cannon's own production company, Incredible Entertainment. On July 14, 2020, ViacomCBS fired from Wildin' Out after he refused to apologize for race, supremacism, and anti-Semitic comments he made on his broadcast. A statement from ViacomCBS noted that the company's relationship with Cannon was terminated due to his promotion of hateful speech and anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. From 2009 to 2016, Kenneth serviced the host of America's Got Talent. He announced he will not be back for 2017 after citing creative differences between him and the executives at NBC. The registration that came in the wake of the news of the network considering firing Cannon after he made disparaging remarks about NBC in his Showtime comedy special. Stand up, don't shoot. I love art and entertainment too, but much it watched to be ruined by controlling corporations and big businesses. Cannon stated in a statement referring to the cable giants Comcast ownerships at NBC. Cannon, however, was technically under contract to host America's Got Talent and could have potentially sued NBC for a breach of contract, though this was considered unlikely. NBC's executives did not accept his resignation and have been stating to keeping their fingers crossed that he instead choose to return. Cannon's resignation was ultimately accepted as final without further incident. He was replaced in his position as host of America's Got Talent by Tyra Banks, known for also having hosted America's Top Model. Nick Cannon is the chairman of Team Nick for Nickelodeon and the development and creative council of the network since 2009. In 2012, Nick Cannon created a sketch comedy series, Incredible Crew, starring six teenagers as Cannon wrote and produced the theme song. The show was produced by Cartoon Network Studios in association with Incredible Entertainment. The series aired 13 episodes before being canceled. On November 30, 2012, a picture of Cannon was posted on the Incredible Entertainment website, which reported that Nick signed a deal with NBCUniversal to produce scripted and unscripted material for the network. On December 2015, Cannon was named Chief Creative Officer of RadioShack in hopes of catering to a younger crowd. According to the company, this role involved creating RadioShack exclusive products and curating the in-store expenses. They launched the Incredible line of consumer audio electronics the following February, starting with Incredible One wireless headphones. On January 19, 2010, Cannon hosted a morning show with co-hosts Nikki and Southern Sarah Lee in New York. Cannon has a weekly chart program called Cannon's Countdown that is syndicated by CBS Radio. On February 17, 2012, Cannon stepped down from N92.3 Now, citing health issues. Currently, Cannon hosts his own show, Nick Cannon Mornings, at Power 106 in Los Angeles. Nick Cannon's show replaced J. Cruz, The Cruz Show, in 5 a.m., 10 a.m. time slot. After J. Cruz went to rival iHeartRadio for their afternoon drive show. In July 13, 2010, Cannon announced that he was going on a comedy tour in fall 2010, beginning in the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal. In early 2011, Cannon recorded his first stand-up comedy special titled Mr. Showbiz at Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas. The special premiered on Showtime on May 14, 2011. A digital release of Showbiz became available on iTunes beginning May 16, 2011, with a physical release of the album on May 31, 2011. Personal life. Cannon married singer Mariah Carey on April 30, 2008, at her private estate on Windermere Island in the Bahamas. On April 30, 2011, their third wedding anniversary, Carey gave birth to fraternal twins, daughter Monroe and son Moroccan Scott, because Cannon proposed to Carey in her Moroccan-style room. Scott is Cannon's middle name and his grandmother's maiden name. Monroe, like her mother, has no middle name. After 6 years of marriage, the pair separated and filed for divorce in 2014, but briefly reunited in 2015. Their divorce was finalized in 2016. Cannon's son with Brittany Bell Golden Saigon Cannon was born on February 21st, 2017. Cannon was hospitalized on January 4, 2012 for treatment of mild kidney failure and again February 17 after a pulmonary embolism. On March 5, 2012, he announced that his kidney problems were due to lupus nephritis. Cannon enrolled at Howard University in 2016 and graduated in 2020 with a bachelor's degree in criminology, Association of Justice, and a minor in Africana Studies. In 2011, Cannon filmed the public service announcements for Do Something, encouraging teams to find a cause about which they are passionate and take care of their communities. Since in 2011, Cannon has served celebrity spokesperson for the National Association of Letter Carriers annual national food drive, which is held throughout the United States on the second Saturday in May. Racism controversy. Yeah, on July 14, 2020, Nick Cannon was fired by Viacom CBS after making racist and anti-Semitic remarks during an episode of his podcast with Professor Griff. Cannon endorsed conspiracies about Jewish control of finance, claimed that Jews are stolen the identity of black people as the true Hebrews, and cited Louis Farrakhan, who was labeled as an anti-Semite by the Southern Poverty Law Center and Anti-Defamation League. Cannon also made black supremacist statements, calling white people savages who are closer than animals, claiming the only way they can act is evil, citing the melanin theory. Filmography. In 2000, he did Whatever It Takes. In 2012, he was in Men in Black 2, as he was the All Types of the Agent. Drumline, he was Devin Mills. Love Don't Cost a Thing, he was Alvin Johnson. Garfield the Movie, he was Lewis. Shall We Dance, he was Scott. Underclassmen, he was Tracy Trey Stokes. Roll Bounce, Bernard. Even Money, The Godfrey Show. The Adventures of Beer Rabbit. Monster House, Officer Lester, Bobby, Dwayne. Weapons, he was Reggie. Goal to Live in the Team, he was TJ Harper. American Son, he was Mike. Day of the Dead, he was Salazar. Ball Don't Lie, Mike Rowe. The Killing Room, Paul Brody. School Jiris, Lunch Lady. Mashup. Drumline, A New Beat, Devin Miles. School Dance, Supersize, himself. Chirac. King of the Dance Hall, Darjean Brixton, Nick Cannon, the Vlad Couch, himself. Television. He was on All That from 1998 to 2000. He was 33 episodes. He was on Kenan and Kel. He was a pizza boy for 4 episodes. The Parkers. He was Garland for 1 episode. He was on Tiana. He was Alex LaTanya for 2 episodes. Rags, himself. The Nick Cannon Show, himself. Chappelle's Show, himself. Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out, himself. He was on Nick Cannon's Presence Short Circuit, America's Got Talent, Disney Parks Christmas Day Parade, The Nightlife, Up All Night, Team Nick Top 10, Incredible Crew, Real Husbands of Hollywood, Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards, Big Time Rush, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Love and Hip Hop, The Eric Andre Show, Caught on Camera, Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, Two Shorts Boombox, Lip Sync Battle Stories, and The Masked Singer. ...2003 nominated Best Breakthrough Performance, Drumline, nominated Best Istanbul, Hollywood Film Festival, and Symbol of the Year, Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Awards, MTV Movie Awards, Screen Actors Guild, Teams Choice Awards, and NAACP Image Awards. This is great. Yeah, he has a He has a lot of acting credits, long career, and Nick Cannon's really did his thing. So, we have to talk about the controversy, the controversial statements that poor Nick Cannon said with his interview with Professor Griff. And this is Black Wall Street Chronicles, so we're going to talk about it in a business sense. First off, we need to talk about Louis Farrakhan. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan, Minister Farrakhan, has done a lot for black people. The issue is he made some controversial statements about the Jewish community. He has actually co-signed Adolf Hitler. Now, no black person should co-sign Adolf Hitler. And the reason why you shouldn't co-sign Adolf Hitler, because Adolf Hitler killed 200,000 Africans in Shark Island. And he also tried to go to Ethiopia, and the Nazi regime tried to go to Ethiopia and convince Ethiopians that they were not black. So Nazi Germany is not no ally to no black man. So I don't understand why Minister Farrakhan is co-signing anything that Adolf Hitler is saying. However, again, Louis Farrakhan has done a lot for black people. He's always fought for us, and wherever we was in the Starry State, he always stood up for black people. So it's hard for many members of our community to completely disassociate with Minister Farrakhan. We just deal with Minister Farrakhan with that problematic drunk uncle who's always there to support us when we need help. Now, analyzing what Nick Cannon said with the former rapper of Public Enemy, he said that the Jewish individuals, there's a section of Jewish individuals that control all the banks. Now, the reason why I'm not concerned with the concept of whether or not Jews control the banks is because I know that in the United States of America, you have black-owned banks. Now, Senator Kamala Harris says that the main banks do not want to do business with black people. They don't want to give qualified African Americans FHA loans. So we, as black people, we should take our money out of those particular banks and we should put it into invest in black banks and black-owned insurance companies, because these black banks and black-owned insurance companies have served the African American community during the Reconstruction and the Jim Crow laws. There's still some to this day. So the fact that Nick Cannon is having conversations about silly conspiracy theories about what other people control is absolutely ridiculous. See, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. And the reason why I don't believe in conspiracy theories is because true power does not have to hide himself. Power will let you know exactly what it is, and you can't do anything about it. And the fact that these individuals was able to take opportunities away from Nick Cannon, they're basically showing off their power. Like, I saw Nick Cannon's interview where he had with Rabbi Abraham Cooper. And I feel that Rabbi Abraham Cooper was only there to brag about how the Jewish community takes opportunities for people. Like, he was talking about how he took opportunities for Professor Griff. He was talking about how he was able to sue a major corporation, Sony. He was talking about all these things about how he able to take opportunities, and it seemed that he didn't want to. He came off as very condescending, like he didn't want to bridge the gap between himself and Nick Cannon. But that's just my opinion, you know. If you disagree with what I say. Personally, I have no interest of doing business with a Minister Farrakhan or a Rabbi Abraham Cooper. You know, we have no patience for individuals who don't want to come to the negotiating table and talk. I feel like Nick Cannon was overcompensating himself because all through his career, people has been calling Nick Cannon corny, Nick Cannon to be the safe Negro, and that's just toxicity in our community. Our community went through the brain drain, and Candace Owens, somebody who I don't not like at all, she brought up the concept of the brain drain, how there's a great section of our community that values thuggery and values irresponsibility and values destructive activity, where they don't value the clean-cut black man or black woman who is highly intelligent, that's willing to build something, a structure and status for our community. And we do have that problem. And those individuals that's calling Nick Cannon corny, calling Nick Cannon safe, they are the problematic members of our community. We should commend Nick Cannon for being a cool guy and being having a cool head. And apparently, Nick Cannon actually used to be involved in gang activity, but he stopped, according to what it says on Wikipedia. So we should commend him for that. I feel like Nick Cannon caught himself in a bad situation where he didn't really have to do that. It was not worth it. Listen, when you are speaking for social justice, you need to have an exit strategy. You need to have a lump sum of money away just in case something hits the fan, you could basically disappear, right? That was not necessary. He did not have to lose all of his opportunities because he's looking for attention for toxic members of our community. Like, you don't have to go that hard for the NOI. And that young man, Ariza Islam, there's rumors that him and his father was associated in some Scientology scheme where a lot of individuals lost money. Nick Cannon needs to be careful. We all need to be careful when we're dealing in that space of when we have a lot of money. So that's my opinion on the Nick Cannon situation. Now, we're going to talk about Kanye West, as I said earlier. Mr. Kanye West is extremely talented hip hop artist who is struggling with a real bad mental disability, and it shows. And no one knows what the cause of it is. And members of our community don't really see how serious it is, but according to the rumors, like, Kanye West has these emotional breakdowns and these psychotic breaks all the time, and we don't even know when it we don't know how to help Kanye. So Kanye West says that he's, well, before I start talking about Kanye West, they may be a lot of you out there who don't know who Kanye West is really and don't know all of the accomplishments that Kanye West has done. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna do exactly what I did with Nick Cannon, and I'm going to go to Wikipedia and we're gonna read Kanye West's accomplishments. Okay. I'm gonna read it and you're gonna listen with me. Ah, yes. Kanye West. All right. This article may be too long to read and navigate comfortably. Oh boy. Here we go. The rabbit hole of Kanye West. Okay. Kanye Omari West, born June 8, 1977, is an American rapper, singer-songwriter, record producer and composer, and fashion designer. Over the course of his career, his work has often been credited with his experimental approach to hip hop, drawing influence of rock, pop, electro, indie rock, synthpop, industrial, and gospel. Born in Atlanta and raised in Chicago, West was the first known as a producer of Rockefeller Records in the early 2000s, producing singles for several mainstream artists. Intent on pursuing his solo career as a rapper, West released his debut album, The College Dropout, in 2004 to critical and commercial success, and founded the record label Good Music. He experimented with a variety of genres on subsequent acclaimed studio albums, including Late Registration, Graduation, 808s, and Heartbreak, drawing for inspiration from maximalism. West's widely acclaimed fifth album, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, ventured into symphonic and progressive rock sounds. His sixth album, Yeezus, was a critical success. He went on to release The Life of Pablo, Ye, and Jesus is King. West's discography also includes the full-length collaborations Watch the Throne and Kid See Ghosts and Jay-Z and Kid Cudi, respectively. West's outspoken views and life outside music has reached significant media attention. He has been a frequent source of controversy for his conduct at award shows, social media, and other public settings, as well as for his comments on the music and fashion industries, U.S. politics, and race. His Christian faith, as well as his marriage to television personality Kim Kardashian, has also been a source of media attention. As a fashion designer, he has collaborated with Nike, Louis Vuitton, APC, and Gap on both claiming and citing footwear, and has most prominently resulted in a Yeezy collaboration with Adidas beginning in 2013. He is a founder and the head of creator content company Donda. It's named after his mother. West is one of the world's best-selling music artists with over 140 million records sold worldwide. He has won a total of 21 Grammy Awards, making him one of the Recording Academy's most awarded artists. Among his other awards include Billboard Artist Achievement Awards, a joint record of Brit Awards for the Best International Male Solo Artist, and Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. Three of his albums had been included on Rolling Stone's 2012 500 Greatest Albums of All Time list. The same publication named him one of the 100 Greatest Songwriters of All Time. West is the title holder of most albums, typing the annual Paz and Job Critic Poll. Time Magazine named him one of the 100 most influential rap people in the world in 2005 and 2015. Most biographies and reference work note that Kanye West was born on June 8, 1977, Atlanta, Georgia. Although some sources gave his birthplace as Douglasville, a small city west of Atlanta, after his parents divorced when he was 3 years old, he moved with his mother to Chicago, Illinois. His father, Ray West, is a former Black Panther and one of the first Black photojournalists at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Ray West was later a Christian counselor, and in 2006 opened the Good Water Store, a cafe in Lexington Park, Maryland, with startup capital from his son. West's mother, Dr. Donda C. Williams West, was a professor of English at Clark Atlanta University and the choir of the English Department of Chicago State University, before retiring to serve as his manager. West was raised in a middle-class background, attending Polaris High School in suburban Oaktown, Illinois, after living in Chicago. After age 10, West moved with his mother to Nanjing, China, where he was teaching at Nanjing University as part of an exchange program. According to his mother, West was the only foreigner in his class, but settled in well and quickly picked up the language, although he's since forgotten most of it. When asked about his grades in high school, West replied, "I got A's and B's, and I'm not even fronting." West demonstrated an affinity for the arts in an early age. He began writing poetry when he was 5 years old. His mother recalled that she first took notice of West's passion for drawing and music when he was in the third grade. West started rapping in the third grade and began making musical compositions in the seventh grade, eventually selling them to other artists. At age 13, West wrote a rap song called Green Eggs and Ham, the title of a best-selling children's book by Dr. Seuss, and persuaded his mother to pay for time in a recording studio, accompanying him to the studio despite discovering it being a little basement studio where a microphone hung from the military ceiling by a wireless clothes hanger. West's mother nonetheless supported and encouraged him. West crossed paths with producer DJ and ID, who quickly formed a close relationship. No, ID soon became West's mentor, and it was him that West learned how to sample and program beats after he received his first sample at age 15. After graduating from high school, West received a scholarship to attend Chicago's American Academy of Art in 1997 and began taking painting classes. Shortly after, he transferred to Chicago State University to study English. He soon realized that his busy class schedule was detrimental to his music work, and at 20, he dropped out of college to pursue his musical dreams. This greatly displeased his mother, who was a professor at the university. She later commented, "It was drummed into my head that college is the ticket to a good life. But some career goals don't require college." For Kanye to make an album called College Dropout, it was more about having the guts to embrace who you are, rather than following the path society has carved out for you. Career, early work on Rockefeller Records. Kanye West began his early production career in the mid-1990s, creating beats primarily for burgeoning local artists, eventually developed a style that involved speeding up vocal samples for classic soul records. His first official production credits came at the age of 19, where he produced 8 tracks on Down to Earth, the 1996 debut album of a Chicago rapper named Groove. For a time, West acted as a ghost producer for Derek D. Doc Angelet. Because of his associations with Diot, West was not able to release his studio album. So he formed and became a member of the producer Go Getters, a late 1990s Chicago rap group composed of him, GL, Chimmy G, Rilly Doe, and Aerostar. His group was managed by John Monopoly Johnson, Don Crowley, and Happy Lewis under the management firm Hustle Period. After attending a series of promotional photo shoots and making some radio appearances, the Go-Getters released their first and only studio album, World Record Holders, in 1999. The album featured other Chicago-based rappers such as Rhymefest, Mikey Halstead, Miss Chris, and Shella G. Meanwhile, the production was handled by West, Aerostar, Boogs, Byron, All Day Miller. In 1998, West was the first person signed by G. Robertson and Campbell Hip Hop Jusano to management production company Hip Hop since 1978. West spent much of the late 1990s producing records for a number of well-known artists and music groups. The third song of Foxy Brown's second studio album, China Doll, was produced by West. Her second effort subsequently became the very first hip-hop album by a female rapper due to the top of the US Billboard 200 chart in the first week of release. West produced 3 of the tracks on Harlem's World first and only album, The Movement, alongside Jermaine Dupri and the production duo Trax Masters. His song featured rappers Nas, Drakkon, R&B singer Carl Thomas. The ninth track for World Party, the last Goodie Mob album to feature the Rap Goose, 4 founding members prior to their breakup. It was co-produced by West and his manager Derek D. Dot Angelique. At the close of the millennium, West ended up producing 6 songs for Tell 'Em Why You Mad. An album was released by D-Dot under the alias of Mad Rapper. A fictional character that he created a skit for the Notorious B.I.G.'s second and final album with Life After Death. West songs feature guest appearances from rappers such as Mace Requar and Eminem. West got his big break in the year 2000 when he became to produce for artists on the Rockefeller Records. West came to achieve recognition and is often credited with revitalizing Jay-Z's career with the contribution to the rap mogul's influential 2001 album, The Blueprint. The Blueprint is constantly ranked among the greatest hip-hop albums, and the critical and financial success of the album generated substantial interest in West as a producer. Serving as an in-house producer for Rockefeller Records, West produced records for other artists such from the label, including Beanie Sigel, Freeway, and Cam'ron. He also crafted hits from Ludacris, Alicia Keys, and Janet Jackson. Despite his success as a producer, West's true aspiration was to be a rapper. Though he did not develop his rapping long before he began producing, it was often a challenge for West to be accepted as a rapper, and he struggled to attain a record deal. Multiple record companies ignored him because he did not want to portray the gangster image prominent in mainstream hip hop at the time. After a series of meetings with Capitol Records, West was ultimately denied an artist deal. According to Capitol Record A&R Joe Ringberger, he was approached by West and almost signed a deal with him, but another person in the company convinced Capitol's president not to. Despite Takeefer West for deflecting to another label, then label head Damon Dash reluctantly signed West to Rockefeller Records. Jay-Z later admitted that Rockefeller was initially reluctant to support West as a rapper, claiming many that saw him as a producer first and foremost, and that his background contrasted with all of his label mates. West's breakthrough came a year later on October 23, 2002, when, while driving from home for California recording studio after working late, he fell asleep in the wheel, causing a head-on crash with another car. The crash left him with a shattered jaw, which had to be shut in reconstructive surgery. The crash broke both legs of the other driver. The accident inspired West. 2 weeks after being admitted to the hospital, he recorded a studio at Record Plant Studios with his jaw rocked, told con the composition Through the Wire expressed that West's experience after the incident and helped lay the foundation for his debut album, as according to West, all the better artists has expressed what they was going through. West added, "The album was my medicine, as working on the record distract him from the pain." Through the Wire was first available on West Get Well Soon mixtape, released December 2012. At the same time, West announced that he was working on an album called College Dropout, whose overall theme was to make your own decisions. Don't let society tell you this is what you have to do. West recorded the remainder of the studio in Los Angeles while recovering from the car accident. Once he had completed the album, it was leaked months before it was release date. However, West decided to use the opportunity to review the album, and the College Dropout was significantly remixed, remastered, and revised long before being released. As a result, certain tracks originally destined for the album were subsequently reacted. Among them, Kept the Receipt with the old Dirty Bastard, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly with Consequence. West meticulously redefined the production, adding strings arrangements, gospel choirs, improved drum programming, and the verses. West's perfectionism led the College Dropout to have his release postponed three times for its initial date in August 2003. And the College Dropout was eventually issued by Rockefeller in February 2004, shooting the number two on the Billboard 200 as debut single. Do the Wire peaked at number 15 on the Billboard's Hot 100 charts for 5 weeks. Soul Jams was second single featuring Twister and Jamie Foxx, became an even bigger success. It became number 15 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts for 5 weeks. Soul Jams is second single featuring Twister and Jamie Foxx, became an even bigger success. It became the three musicians' first number one hit. The College Dropout received near universal critical acclaim from contemporary music critics, was voted top album of the year by two major publications, and has been consistently been ranked among of the great hip hop works and debut albums. Jesus Walks, the album's fourth single, perhaps exposed West to a wider audience. The song's subject matter concerns faith and Christianity. The songs nevertheless reached the top 20 of the Billboard pop charts. Despite industry executives' predictions that a song containing such blatant declarations of faith would never make it to radio, The College Dropout would eventually be certified triple platinum in the U.S. and garnered West 10 Grammy nominations, including Album of the Year and the Best Album, which it received. During this period, West also founded Good Music, a record label and management company through would go to house affiliate artists and producers such as No ID, John Legend. At the time, the focal point of West's production style was the use of sped up vocal samples for soul records. However, partly because of the acclaim the College Dropout, such sampling has been copied by others with that overuse. Also became West had become too dependent on the technique. He decided to find a new sound. During this time, he also produced singles from Brandy Common, John Legend, and Slum Village. Beginning his second effort that fall, West would invest $2 million to take over a year to craft his second album. West was significantly inspired by Roseland New York City Live, a live 1998 album by English trip group Foster Head, produced with the New York Polymotor Orchestra. Early in his career, the live studio inspired him to incorporate stringing into his hip-hop production. Do West have not been able to afford many live instruments around the time of his debut album. The money from his commercial success enabled him to hire a string orchestra for his second album, Late Registration. West collaborated with the American film score composer John Bryan, which served as the album's co-executive producer for several tracks. Although Brian has no prior experience in creating hip-hop records, and he and West found that they could productively work together after their first afternoon in the studio, where they discovered that neither confined his musical knowledge and vision to one specific genre. Late Registration sold over 2.3 million units in the United States. Alone by the end of 2005, it was considered by industry observers as the only successful major album release of the fall season, which had been plagued by steadily declining CD sales. West having clouded controversy a year prior when he stormed out the American Music Awards in 2004 after losing Best New Artist Award to Gretchen Wilson. His large-scale controversy came just days late Registration release during a benefit concert for Hurricane Katrina victims. In September 2005, NBC broadcast a concert for Hurricane Relief and West was featured speaker. When West was presenting alongside actor Mike Myers, he deviated from the prepared script. Mike spoke out next and continued to read the script. Once it was West's turn to speak again, he said, "George doesn't care about black people." West's comment reached much of the United States, leading to mixed reactions. President Bush would later call it one of the most disgusting moments of his presidency. Race refer to controversy in January 2006 when he posted on the cover of Rolling Stone's Wearing a Crown of Thorns. This man is prolific. Graduation, 808's Heartbreak, and VMA's Controversy. Oh, this is the one when he he interrupted Taylor Swift. Fresh off spending the previous year touring the world with U2 on their vertical tour, Wes felt inspired to compose anthemic rap songs that could operate most efficiently in large arenas. To his end, Wes incorporated the synthesizer into his hip hop promo. Experiment with electronic music and influence music of the 1980s. In addition to U2, Wes drew musical inspiration for arena box bands such as the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin in terms of melody and chord progression. To make his next effort, the third and planned Churchology of Education-themed studio albums, more introspective and personal in lyricism, Wes listened to folk and country singer-songwriters Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash in hopes of developing methods to augment his wordplay and storytelling ability. Wes's third studio album, Graduation, garnered major publicity when its release date pitted Wes against the sales competition against rapper 50 Cent's Curtis. Upon their September 2007 releases, Graduation outsold Curtis by a large margin, debuting on the number one U.S. Billboard 200 chart and selling 957,000 copies in its first week. Graduation continued the string of critical and commercial successes by Wes, and the album's lead single, Stronger, garnered his third number one hit, Stronger, which samples French house duo Daft Punk and has been accredited to not only encouraging other hip hop artists to incorporate house and electronic elements into their music, but also playing a part in the revival of disco and electro-infused music in the 1900s. Ben Derrick of XXL cited the outcome of shell competition between 50 Cent's Curtis and West Graduations as being responsible for altering the direction of the hip hop, paving the way for new rappers who did not follow the hardcore gangster mold writing. It was ever a watershed moment to indicate hip hop change in direction. It may have come when 50 Cent competed with Kanye in 2007 to see whose album would claim superior sales. Wes' life took a different direction when his mother, Donda Wells, died of complications from cosmetic surgery involving abdominoplasty and breast reduction in November 2007. Months later, Wes and fiancée Alex Pfeiffer ended their engagement with their long-term intermittent relationship, which had become in 2002. The events profoundly affected Wes, who set off his 2008 glow-in-the-dark shortly thereafter, purposely because if emotions could not be conveyed through rapping. Wes decided to sing using the voice audio producer Auto-Tune, which would become a central part of the next effort. Wes previously experimented with the technology of his debut album, The College Dropout, for the background vocals of Jesus Walks and Never Let Me Down, recorded mostly in Honolulu, Hawaii in 3 weeks. Wes announced his fourth albums, 808s and Heartbreak, at the 2008 MTV Music Awards, where he performed his lead single, Love Lockdown. Music audiences were taken aback by this uncharacteristic production style and the presence of Auto-Tune, which typified the pre-release response to the record. 808s and Heartbreak, which features extensive use of eponymous Roland TL-808 drum machine and contained themes of love, loneliness, and heartache, was released by Island Def Jam to capitalize on Thanksgiving weekend on November 2008. Reviews were positive, though significantly more mixed than the previous efforts. Despite this, the record's singles demonstrated outstanding charging performances. Upon this release, the lead single, Love Lockdown, debuted at number 3 at the Billboard Hot 100 and became a hotshot debut. While the follow-up single Heartless performed similarly, it became a consecutive hot shot debut by debuting at number 4 at the Billboard Hot 100. While it was criticized prior to release, 808s and Heartbreaks had a significant effect on hip-hop music, encouraging other rappers to take creative risks with their productions. West's controversial incident at following year at the 2009 MTA Video Music Awards was arguably his best controversy and led to the widespread outrage due music industry. During the ceremony, West crashed the stage and grabbed the microphone for Taylor Swift during her acceptance speech for Best Female Video, and also became that Beyonce's video for single Mingus Put a Ring on It, nominated for the same award, was one of the best videos of all time, and he subsequently withdrawn for the remainder of the show for his actions. West's famed Kill tour with Lady Gaga was canceled in response to the controversy. And in 2009, West was named Billboard as the top male artist of 2009. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasies and collaborations. Following the highly publicized incident, West took a brief break from music and threw himself into fashion, only to hold up in Hawaii for the next few months of writing, recording his next album, importing his favorite producers and artists to work and inspire his recording. West kept engineers behind the boards 24 hours a day and slept only in increments. Noah Callahan River, a writer for Complex, was present during the sessions and described communal atmosphere as thus: with the right songs and the right albums, he can overcome any and all controversy. And we are here to contribute, challenge, and inspire. A variety of artists contributed to the product, including close friends Jay-Z, Kid Cudi, and Kid Cudi, and Pusha T, as well as off-the-wall collaborators such as Justin Vernon of Bon Iver. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, West's fifth studio album, was released in November 2010 to widespread acclaim for critics. Many of it considered to be in his best work and solidified his comeback. In stark contrast to his previous effort, which were featured a minimalist sound, Dark Fantasy adopts a maximalist philosophy and deals with themes of celebrity and excess. Recording include the international hits All of the Lights and Billboard hits Power, Monster, and Runaway, and later which accomplished a 35 film of the same name directed and starring West. During this time, West initiated the free music program Good Fridays author's website, offering a free download of premium unreleased songs each Friday, a portion of which were included on an album. The program ran from August 20 to the December 17, 2010. Dark Fantasies went on to go platinum in United States, but its omission as a contender of the Album of the Year at the 54 Grammy Awards was viewed as a snub by many media outlets. In 2011, embarked on a festival tour to commemorate the release of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, performing and headlining numerous festivals including SWVU Music and Arts, Austin Semi-Litters, Oye Festival, Flow Festival, Live Music Festival, The Big Chill, Essence Music Festival, Lala Producer, and Coachella, which was described by The Hollywood Reporter as one of the greatest hip-hop sets of all time. West released collaborative album Watch the Throne with Jay-Z in August 2011. By employee and avoid and sales strategy that released the album digitally weeks before its physical counterpart, Watch the Throne became one of the few major labels internet age to avoid a leak. Niggas in Paris became the record's higher charting single, peaking at number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100. The co-heading of Watch the Throne tour kicked off in October 2011 and concluding in June 2012. In 2012, West released the compilation album A Cruel Summer, a collection of tracks by artists of West record label Good Music. Cruel Summer produced 4 singles, 2 of which charted within the top 20 of the Hot 100. Mercy and Clips. West also directed a film of the same name, which premiered in 2012 Cannes Film Festival, and custom pyramid shaped screaming power vision featuring 7 screens. Sessions for Les 6 studio effort began to take shape in early 2013 in his own personal loft living room at Paris Hotel, determined to undermine the commercial. The once again brought together close collaborators and attempted to incorporate Chicago drill, dancehall, and acid in industrial music, primarily inspired by architecture. West's perfectionist tendencies led him to contract producer Rick Rubin's day shot of Due Dates to strip down the record sound in favor of a more minimalist approach. Initial promotion of his 6th album included worldwide video projections of my album's music and live television performances. Yeezus, West's 6th album, was released June 18, 2013 to rave reviews from critics. It became his 6th successful number one. Also marks his lowest solo opening week sales. Def Jam issued Black Skinhead to radio in July 2013 as the album's lead single. In September 2013, Kanye West announced he will be headlining his first solo tour in 5 years to support Yeezus with his fellow American rapper Kendrick Lamar, accompanying him as supporting act. The tour was met with rave reviews from critics. Rolling Stone described it as a crazily entertaining, hugely ambitious, and emotionally affecting reality, and most importantly, totally bonkers. Writing for Forbes, Zach O'Malley Greenberg praised West for taking risks that a few pop stars and any are willing to take in today's hype-exposed world of pop, describing the show as overwrought and uncomfortable at times, but it excels at challenging norms and provoking thought in a way that isn't just common for mainstream musical acts of late. In June 2013, Western television personality Kim Kardashian announced the birth of their first child, North, and their engagement in October to widespread media attention. In November, West stated he was beginning work of his next studio album, hoping to release it by mid-2014, with production by Rick Rubin and Q-Tip. In December 2013, Adidas announced the beginning of their official apparel collaboration with West, to be premiered the following year. In May 2014, West and Kardashian were married in a private ceremony in Florence, Italy, with a varied list of celebrities in attendance. West released a single, Only One, featuring Paul McCartney in December. 4 or 5 Seconds, a single jointly produced with Rihanna and McCartney, was released in January 2015. West also appeared on the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special, when he premiered a new song entitled Wolves, featuring Sia Furler and fellow Chicago rapper Vic Mensa. In February 2015, West premiered his clothing collaboration with Adidas entitled Yeezy CZ1 to generally positive reviews. This was include West Yeezy Boot Sneakers. In March 2015, West released the single All Day featuring Theophilus London, Alan Kingdom, and Paul McCartney. West performed this song at the 2015 Brit Awards with a number of US apples and UK grime MCs, including Skepta, Wiley, a novelist, Freaky, Captain Conan, Stormzy, Alan Kingdom, Theophilus London, and Vic Mensa. He would premiere the second alliteration of his clothing line, Yeezy Season 2, in September 2015 at New York Fashion Week. Having initially announced a new album entitled So Help Me God's slated for a 2014 release, in March 2015, West announced that the album would instead be tentatively called Swish. On May 11th, West was awarded honorary doctorate by the School of Art of Chicago for his contribution to music, fashion, and popular culture, officially making him honorary DFA. The next month, West headlined the Glastonbury Festival in the UK, despite a petition signed by almost 135,000 people against his appearance. Towards the end of the set, West proclaimed himself the greatest living rock star on the planet. Media outlets, including social media sites such as Twitter, were divided in his performance. NME stated, "The decision to book West for a slot has proved controversial since his announcement, and the show itself to be polarized both Glastonbury goers and those who turned in to watch their TVs." The publication added that his letting his music speak for itself prove itself. The Guardian said that his set had potent ferocity, and there are gaps and stutters, and he cuts a strangely long finger in the front of the vast crowd. In September 2015, West performed 808s and Heartbreaks and is entirely two nights in a row of rave reviews at Hollywood Brawl. To perform a 60-person orchestra, live band, and guests from album The 70-Plus Dancers. In December 2015, West released a song titled Called Facts. And West announces January 2016 that The Switch will be released on February 11th, and later that month released new songs Real Friends and the snippet of No More Parties in LA with Kendrick Lamar. This also revived the Good Fridays initiative, where he releases new songs every single Friday. On January 26, 2016, West revealed he had renamed the album for Switch to Waves, and also announced that the premiere of his Yeezy Season 3 clothing line at Madison Square Garden. In the weeks leading to the album's release, West became embroiled in several Twitter controversies and released several changes and iterations of the track list of the new album. 7 days later of his release, West again changed his title to, this time to A Life of Pop. On February 11th, West premiered the album at Madison Square Garden as a presentation of his Yeezy Season 3 clothing line. Following the preview, West announced that he would be modifying the track list once more before his release to the public, and further delayed his release to finalize the recording track The Ways at the behest of co-writer Chance the Rapper. He released the album exclusively on Tidal on February 14, 2016, performing the performance on SNL. Following its official streaming release, West continued to tinker with mixes of several tracks, describing the work as a living, breathing, changing creative expression, and proclaiming the end of the album as a dominant release form. Although a statement by West around the Life of Pablo's initial release indicated that the album would be a permanent executive title, to the album was released through several other competing services starting in April. In February 2006, West stated on Twitter that he was planning to release another album in the summer of 2016, tentatively called TurboGrafx-16, in reference to the 1990 video game console of the same name. In 2016, West released a collaborative lead single, The Champions, off the Good Music album Cruel Winter, which had yet to be released. Later that month, West released a controversial video for Famous, which depicted wax figures of several celebrities, including West, Kardashian, Taylor Swift, businessman and then president candidate Donald Trump, comedian Bill Cosby, and former President George W. Bush, sleeping nude in a shared bed. In August 2016, West embarked on St. Pablo's tour in support of the Life of Pablo. The performance featured a mobile stage suspending from a ceiling. West proposed several dates in October following the Paris robbery of his several white effects. On November 21st, 2016, West canceled the remaining 21 dates of the St. Pablo's tour, following a week of known shows, curtailed consoles, and rants about politics. He later admitted for psychiatric observation at the UCA Medical Center. He stayed hospitalized over Thanksgiving weekend because of a temporary psychosis stemming from sleep deprivation and extreme hot dehydration. Following the episode, West took an 11-month break from Twitter and in public and in general. All right, we're towards the end of the article. Well, this man has done a lot of things. He's had a very prolific career, and we're not even done yet. My God, this is impressive. Yeah, let's give a shout out to Kanye West, man. Talented. Yeah, so it was reported on May 2017 that West was recording new music in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, with a wide range of collaborators. In April 2008, West announced plans to write a philosophy book entitled Break the Simulation, later clarifying that he was sharing the book in real time on Twitter and began posting content that was likened to life coaching. Later that month, he announced two new albums, a solo album with self-titled collaboration with Kid Cudi under the name Kid C. Ghost, both of which would be released in June. Additionally, he revealed he produced upcoming albums by Good Music, Mabel Bass, Pusha T, and Teyana Taylor, as well as Nas. Shortly thereafter, West released the non-album singles Lift Yourself, a strange give gibberish track featuring nonsensical lyrics, and Yeezy versus the People, where he and T.I. discussed West's controversial support of Donald Trump. Pusha T's Daytona was the first project out of Wyoming, released in May due to critical acclaim, although the album's artwork, a photograph of deceased in Whitney Houston's bathroom that West paid $85,000 to license, attracted some controversy. The following week, West released his album Yee. West was suggested he scrap original recordings of the album and re-record it within a month. The week after, West released a collaborative album with Kid Cudi titled Kid C. Ghost, naming after the group of the same name. West also completed production of the work Nasir and KTSE. On August 30, 2018, West released the non-album single XTCY, which was originally stated to be included in Yee. On September 7, 2018, West released collaboration with American rapper Lil Pump titled I Love It. On September 9, 2018, announced via Twitter Watch the Throne would be coming soon. Later that month, West announced his ninth studio album, Yandhi, to be released by the end of the month, and a collaborative album with Chicagoan rapper Chance the Rapper titled Good Ass Job. West will also announce in September that he will be changing his name to Yee. Yandhi was originally set for release on September 29, 2018, but was postponed to November 23, 2018. West later postponed the album again in November 2018 with no release date set. Later in 2018, West began collaborating with other new acts besides Lil Pump. West appeared as a guest feature on the tracks Kanga and Mama with Nicki Minaj on American rapper 6ix9ine's debut album Dummy Boy. West is also the solo feature on Trippie XXXTentacion's posthumous album Skins. 6ix9ine and XXXTentacion was both stated to be included on Yandhi. In January 2019, West pulled out of headlining the Coachella Festival after negotiations broke down due to discord regarding stage design. On July 18, 2019, it was reported that songs of West's unreleased album Yandhi was leaked online. By October of the same year, the whole leaked, unfinished album was available for a short time on the streaming services like Spotify and Tidal, but was shortly taken down. By October 21, 2019, West announced his Christian hip-hop album called Jesus the King, effectively changing and retitling his previous album, Yandhi album. On January 6, 2019, West started his weekly Sunday service orchestration, which includes soul variations of both West and other songs attended by multiple celebrities, including the Kardashians, Charlie Wilson, and Kid Cudi. West previewed a new song, Water, at his Sunday service orchestration performance at Weekly Second of Coachella. On October 25th, 2019, he released on January 6, 2019, West's orchestration, which includes soul variations of West and other songs, attended by multiple celebrities, including the Kardashians, Charlie Wishing, and Kid Cudi. West previewed a new song, Water, at his Sunday service orchestration performance at Weekend Second on Coachella. On October 25th, 2019, he released Jesus is King, a Christian hip-hop album. On the U.S. charts, the album became the first ever to top Billboard 200. R&B and hip-hop albums, top rap albums, top Christian albums, and top gospel albums at the same name. He also collaborated with Vanessa Beecroft on two albums, Nebuchadnezzar and Mary. On December 25, 2019, West End Sunday Service released Jesus Is Born, containing 19 songs, including several reworkings of older West songs. On June 30, 2020, West released the first single of his upcoming 10th studio album, Donda, titled Wash Us in the Blood. It features Travis Scott and draws similarities to the sound of his 2013 album, Yeezus. Yeah, so that is the great and prolific career of the wonderful Kanye West. Now, I want to speak about Kanye West's personal life because it's actually very interesting and it's a learning experience. And it actually has to deal with the theme of the show, you know, Black Wall Street. And now, Kanye West is a Christian, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the scriptures to explain Kanye West's problem. See, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian are not equally yoked. Equally yoked means that they do not have the same values. Kanye West, one hand, is trying to enter Christianity and wants his children to live a Christian lifestyle, but Kim Kardashian is really indoctrinated into the thoughtry and the attention whoreism that is plaguing Hollywood to this day, right now. She's actually the queen of it. She is making so much money off of it, and according to Kanye West's rants, he's not having that, and it's a problem. Now, Kim Kardashian does things that triggers me personally as a black man. When she was in an interview, she said that when she was doing the sex tape with Ray J, she said that she was doing ecstasy. Now, I have a problem with that because according to the law, when you have sex with a woman who is under the influence of drugs and alcohol, guess what? That is considered to be sexual assault. So Kim Kardashian saying that she was taking ecstasy, that makes me believe, that is insinuating that Ray J took advantage of her, and she has used that victimhood of that sex tape. And you know, you can say whatever you want about Corinne Steffens, but Corinne Steffens is a black woman, and sometimes black women, because they care about black men, will warn us when something bad is going to happen. And Corinne Steffens warned Ray J. It said, do not do that sex tape. She's going to use it to make money. And look at God. Look at this. Look at what the Kardashians is doing. The Kardashians have attracted, I don't personally know them. I hear they're very nice people. But are known to get into relationships with black men who are struggling with mental disabilities. And they seem to be taking advantage of them. And they have known to steal ideas from black fashion designers. So I don't know. You know, And this is my verbal stream of consciousness. This is today's episode. Next week, I'm thinking about talking about the vaccines. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna talk about what's going on in New York City, the latest with COVID-19, the stand-up comedy scene in New York, and all this other stuff that's going on in New York during this global pandemic. So again, follow me on Instagram, BlackKage840. Follow my YouTube page, Pain308TV. And again, my Twitch is JeffGamer55Ryer at twitch.com. That's JeffGamer55Ryer at twitch.com. Oh, and last but not least, I have a consistent people who is listening to this particular podcast. Do me a favor, when you listen to the podcast, I want you to rate it. I have 65 people listening to this podcast, and they have not rated my podcast once. So please rate my podcast. I don't care what the rating is. I would love for it to be the 5 stars. And also, you can go to my anchor.com and you can comment and you can give me suggestions. And if you want to support the podcast even further, you can do a monthly payment. You can subscribe on my podcast on anchor.com and you could do a monthly payment. Thank you very much and enjoy your week. God bless.